24 past 7 on your Thursday morning. We're taking you all the way through to 8.30 on Summer Breakfast. And then after us, Matty Stewart with Racing Pulse and all the latest racing news. He'll be in after about a quarter past 8 to give us a taste of what's coming up. Speaking of what's coming up, plenty of US sport over the next few weeks. And it's almost the biggest couple of weeks in US sport with the Super Bowl on the 4th of February. Duncan Mackenzie McCarg is normally a long way away. We're good enough to have him in the studio today. Duncan, good morning.
G'day, guys.
Welcome home.
Bryce, amazing. Yeah, thank you so much. It's always great to be in Melbourne this time of year, isn't it? Obviously, with the Australian Open going on at the moment. Obviously, I'm presenting at the AO, and it's just a great time to be around Melbourne Park. Guys, if you haven't been to the tennis this year, it is bigger, it is better, there's so much to look at. It's basically turned into almost like a festival rather than a sporting event. It's just incredible. You go to Grand Slam City, it's just a visual delight, and there's just not an inch of space where Tennis Australia has sort of mapped out where they could do an activation or something really cool. So there's something for everybody. It's amazing. Mm.
Duncan's just got his job for next year as well. Good stuff up there
yeah,
for the
sure.
AO.
Got to get him happy.
I want to ask about tennis in the US. I don't know if you've been to any, but is it different? Is there a different attitude towards tennis over in the US than in Australia? Or is it one of those niche things that for 2 weeks when the US Open rolls around, everyone gets interested in it?
It's a very good question. I mean, they have a lot of the Master Series events, and obviously they've got the US Open at Flushing Meadows. But I think, you know, American tennis is sort of going through a bit of a down period at the moment. At the moment, has for quite some time now, ever since we lost our Andy Roddick. But yeah, I think it's one of these things where it's still fairly niche, especially during the American summer. It certainly picks up when they've got Master Series events in Cincinnati, and obviously got the US Open. But yeah, at the moment, it's certainly a bit of a down period. It's probably a little bit niche, but I get the feeling that it's only a matter of time before we're going to see another American superstar sooner rather than later. Obviously, we've got a lot of this Eastern European contingent coming through and really dominating the game, but it's certainly a matter of time before we have another American rising up the ranks.
So if Jack Sock was walking down Fifth Avenue, would people recognize him?
No. They certainly wouldn't, and especially Jack, who has just been going terribly. I mean, the last 14
Jack's,
months.
Maybe John Isner, who's 7'9".
Yeah, I think we would all recognise John. I mean, he's one of the great guys of tennis as well. But yeah, just on Jack Sock, I mean, he's almost fallen off a cliff the last 14 months. I mean, he was ranked in the top 10, and then all of a sudden, ever since he made that ATP World Tour Finals, he's really just gone downhill.
Yeah, bit of a road back for Jack Sock. Mm. Let's head to the NFL. Bryce and I were all over this earlier in the week. It's actually very good timing for us in Breakfast Radio with it on throughout the Monday morning. And I tell you what, we do get a bit distracted at times as well. Now, the conference championships have now been
decided
with the Saints playing the Rams and the Chiefs playing the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I want to start with the story of Tom Brady. It's one we talk about a lot, but if he was to get this Patriots team to the Super Bowl and win it, where would that go down in his list of career achievements, which is bloody long?
Very, very good question. Well, five-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, he's played in all sorts of teams. I mean, this New England Patriots team is aging, and they've been written off pretty much since, what, maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when they had those back-to-back losses. They had that loss in Miami and that crazy finish with Rob Gronkowski not making that tackle. But, yeah, I mean, with that 41-28 win over the LA Chargers, I mean, they've sort of re-announced themselves as real contenders again. And they've got themselves into that position where they're in an AFC Championship game. They've got to go to Kansas City, Missouri. They've got to go to Arrowhead Stadium and take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And, yeah, in terms of Brady and getting this aging group, I mean, I think he probably thinks in his mind that it'd be one of his greatest achievements, because I know that he was quoted on record after that game effectively saying, "Everybody thinks we suck and can't win any games. I tell you what, we're looking forward to next week." So, I mean, New England, they're a bit like the Collingwood of the AFL. I mean, everyone loves to hate them. You're either with them or against them.
Okay.
I tell you what, this interesting situation with Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers. Every time Phillip Rivers, the quarterback for the LA Chargers, comes up against Tom Brady, he loses. He's played him 8 times for 8 losses. So, Phillip is going to be having nightmares about Tom in the offseason. I can't wait for this game to begin. I think it's certainly the pick of the two games.
Did it surprise you, though, that the Patriots, the way they jumped out of the blocks, like they really just blew them away and didn't give them a chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Their offensive line was very, very strong, wasn't it? And, you know, they've just got some great attacking weapons. I mean, it's one of these things where if you give Tom Brady some time and space in the pocket, he's going to find people. So it's I think this New England Patriots team might actually go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. I think they've got the playoff experience. I think Brady and Belichick know what to do in these situations. The Chiefs have been very, very impressive, even without Kareem Hunt. But it comes down to pressure. And a lot of the time in the history, the Chiefs haven't been that strong at Arrowhead during the playoffs. So it's going to come down to who can handle it.
Do you think that weighs on players, that past history of teams?
I think it just depends who you are. I mean, some people read newspapers, some people are historians, some people love to look at the facts, and others probably just block it out. I mean, it's just one of these ones where this Chiefs team, through Andy Reid, they're a very tight unit. They've got Tyreek Hill, they've got Travis Kelce, they've got some very, very good attacking weapons themselves. So I think it's probably going to be a shootout. And on the other hand, you've got the MVP favourite in Patrick Mahomes, who's just been the story of the NFL this season, really.
Now, for those, I know we've followed him lots with you, but for those who are just catching up on Patrick Mahomes, tell us about his story and his dad as well, who played a completely different sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, his dad was a baseballer, and obviously Patrick Mahomes, he's one of these guys who was a pretty heavily sort of first round pick, but he's one of these guys where he's quite an unassuming kind of guy, and he was the backup quarterback to Alex Smith last year, and obviously Alex got traded to the Washington Redskins at the end of last season, and then Mahomes was sort of thrown into the spotlight, and basically as a first season starter, but really in his second year, he has just totally thrived in this position, and he's become the preeminent quarterback of the NFL in just his first year as a starter, which is quite incredible. And then you've got veterans like Aaron Rodgers being asked, just how good is this guy? And then Rodgers is saying, he reminds me of a young me, which is just the ultimate compliment for a 23-year-old playing effectively in his first season. So, yeah, he's one of these guys who's... he's just got brilliant hand-eye coordination. He's got a cannon of an arm. He's one of these guys who can throw no-look passes. And he's got a very, very good head on his shoulders. And I think his future is going to be so, so bright.
That is exciting stuff. The other game, the Saints and the Rams, Maisie was really interested in how exciting the Rams, the way they celebrated, or was that the Saints?
The New Orleans.
After their win, they really turned it on. They beat the Eagles 20-14 last week, or earlier in the week, and they, rather than just having the boom box going, so every change room has that, but they had the lights, the smoke machine.
Yeah.
It was just a flat out. It was a nightclub. It was unbelievable.
Is that what you guys have after each show here?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just down
lights,
the
smoke machine.
Turn off all the lights at the local cafe and just get pumping.
I tell you what, guys, being on the ground in the US and you get around the locker rooms and you see the way in which these guys operate pre-game, post-game, that they are different types of individuals. I mean, the way in which they get into... I mean, everyone's got a big Beats headphones set on. Everyone gets into the groove in their own different way. And the way in which they party and celebrate is completely different to what our cricket team would do or an AFL team would do. If you get the chance to try and get an accreditation before an NFL or an NBA game, make sure you head into the locker rooms, because there's just all sorts of nonsense going on.
Because we don't often get let in the inner sanctum, even from a TV perspective, with AFL, or AFL being better over the last couple of years. But the access you get to see, like, imagine seeing a party from the Aussie cricket team after they won the Ashes 5-0. I mean, we'd never get access to
that. I'm thinking back to Steve Waugh when he was in charge. There'd be Hey True Blue just coming out of the...
it's a bit different.
Coming out of the wireless. And,
for sure.
And this is just this heaving nightclub and blokes jumping around. And, you've got to celebrate your success, and they do it better than most.
If you've been to New Orleans, it reminds me of New Orleans at about... 4
on
a.m.
Bourbon
in the morning.
Street.
On Bourbon Street.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Very similar.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are one of these teams where they've sort of taken over the favouritism from the Rams halfway through the season, and they've just been running with it. And obviously, you've got veteran quarterback Drew Brees, who will be a Hall of Famer, coming up against the young quarterback in Jared Goff. So, and he's really been leading that line from the get-go. So the Rams have been sort of the X factor of the NFL for the last two seasons. Who knows how good they are there? This very, very strong offensive team. And then you've got New Orleans Saints, who underneath Drew Brees are a very tight unit as well. So I really can't wait for these two games to begin. It's going to be one of the great weekends of US sport.
Bought my mate a Drew Brees signed jersey at the start of the year. He's a big Saints fan. And tell you what, that might just double in value. Might have to get back from him and sell it back to him after a couple of weeks' time if they go through and play in the Super Bowl. Before we get there, we've got the Pro Bowl. Now, What's the interest like? This is the All-Star game.
Yeah.
What is the interest like in America? Is it pretty much the interest we get here with, or we used to get with State of Origin, where it's dwindling and on its way out? Or is it something that people still look forward to the week before the Super Bowl?
It's like the EJ Witten
Legends game.
No. It's not as low profile as that. I think it's one of these ones where everyone's keeping an eye on the following week, the Super Bowl. So you don't have, arguably, you know, two of the best teams in the Pro Bowl itself. I mean, obviously, if Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he would be starting in the Pro Bowl. And if he is playing in the Super Bowl, and he still won't be playing in the Pro Bowl now because there's just not enough time. But it's just one of these things where people keep a passing interest in it. I mean, for us here in Australia, we have got a big interest in it this year because we've got Michael Dixon from the Seattle Seahawks, who's had one of the great rookie seasons here in the NFL as a punter. I mean, he's been revolutionising the way in which he punts, the way in which he drop kicks the ball. I mean, we saw him in that playoff game where he had to practice drop kicking field goals because the kicker was injured. I mean, it's one of these things where I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Michael, and I'm sure the Pro Bowl will give him probably a license to do something kind of cool and different. So keep an eye on the Pro Bowl and Michael Dixon.
Do the best players want to play in it, though? And the franchises, do they want to give up their players? Because it's high-risk stuff. And they're not. Surely they're not nailing each other like it, you know, like it is a Super Bowl. They're just sort of going around. It's a bit more like touch football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they reluctantly do it. A bit like how AFL clubs probably are reluctant to bring back State of Origin, you know, because obviously there'd be a fair bit of interest if we played AFL State of Origin every 4 years, Victoria versus South Australia versus Western Australia. But the cost of losing a player is probably too high. So I think a lot of these head coaches would be watching the Pro Bowl with their hearts in their mouths. I mean, it's one of these ones where if these guys are on such big money, there's so much preparation that goes into each season. If they lose them in the Pro Bowl, they could effectively do an ACL and be out for the rest of the season.
My fears exactly with AFLX. When we see that return in February. I know you're looking forward to that, Bryce. You can't wait.
Absolutely not. But no, I couldn't agree more. Like, Eddie Betts runs around in that. ACL.
No.
What's the point? Like, don't risk them. Let's have the best season we can with the superstars playing. We don't need them risking what's going on there. Anyway,
Before we let Duncan go, I want to ask you and touch on the NBA a little bit and Ben Simmons, who played well again yesterday. And when you look at his stats, very similar to last year, which was surprising, actually, because there's been a bit of talk about second-year blues and not being as good. But actually, on paper, he's very close to what he produced in year one.
Yeah.
First of all, will he be an MVP this year?
All-star
this year?
No.
No, so just miss out on that. Mm-hmm. And second of all, will we see him in the World Cup play for Australia?
No.
No, okay.
No, you won't see him in the World Cup play for Australia. Very much from that discussion we were just having. I mean, it's just too risky to lose a star player. Ben's about to try and negotiate a $223 million 5-year extension with the Philadelphia 76ers. And tell you what, if he injures himself playing for the Boomers in the World Cup, I think all hell's going to break loose in Philadelphia. I mean, look at what happened to Dante Exum. I mean, he was playing for the Boomers and he did his ACL before the Rio Olympics and missed the entire next season for the Utah Jazz. I mean, this was one of their star point guards, a first round selection. So I think Ben knows it's also in his interest not to play and not to really put himself in that position, which would be a terrible, terrible shame because we have these two massive games at Marvel Stadium against Team USA.
Yeah.
Team USA. And this is stuff that dreams are made of for Ben, playing against Team USA in front of 50,000 fans in his home city for Australia. And I just would love to see him play in those games, but I reckon if he's not going to be playing in the World Cup, then there's a chance he probably won't be playing in these games for the Boomers at Marvel Stadium as well.
What type of team, then, do you think we'll see from Team USA in those games?
Oh, good question. Good question. I mean, we'd love to see LeBron James. We'd love to see James Harden, who's probably, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo, is probably leading the NBA MVP as well. It's really, really tough to say. I mean, it really depends on how seriously they're going to be taking this World Cup, Team USA. We could get a mixed bag. We could get a seconds team. But the seconds team for Team USA is going to be an all-star team. So I tell you what, it's not going to diminish what is going to be one of the greatest moments moments in Australian sport for 2019 will be these two games at Marvel Stadium. It is going to be electric. There is so much interest down here in Australia that I've just noticed over the last 3 weeks since being back. People wearing Simmons jerseys at the tennis or Ingles jerseys up in the Gold Coast. It's just amazing to watch, and I can't wait to go back to the US and see it all.
When do you head back?
Head back the 28th of January, heading back for Super Bowl week and trying to get back for NFL opening night, which is one of the craziest days on the media calendar. Basically, they invite all the media into almost like a football-sized arena, and it's pretty much carte blanche. You can ask any NFL player anything. You can ask them what their favorite food is. You can ask them what who their favorite soap star is, anything. And basically, the NFL says, okay, this is one day where you can ask anything. And they just go hell for leather. And it's entertaining. Players answer some questions. They say no comment to others. And so, yeah, going to be amongst the throng for that.
Can't wait to catch up with you when you head back. We might touch base next week as well.
Yeah,
with an update on all the latest that's happening in the US. Safe trip home. We'll see you next week and then touch base with you over for Super Bowl week. I'm so jealous. It's ridiculous. Awesome. Enjoy the trip back. After this, though, we've got plenty more coming up on the show. Still going to catch up with Kimberly Birrell's coach.